Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Glad to have you with us. I'm Kathleen. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Dave.
Hey guys.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the Owl House. So last week,
Yes.
we covered the first few episodes of season two, and we had so many crazy things we wanted to talk about and rant about and spaz about.
Absolutely.
We couldn't possibly fit it into a single episode.
Oh yeah.
So we decided to do multiple.
Yeah, there's a lot going
So
on in season two, actually. So
there is,
yeah.
yeah, there's a lot of like build up to a fairly big reveal, some pretty important
Oh,
introductions and
yeah.
things like that. So yeah, it's a pretty jam-packed season. And also I just think in terms of content, I don't think we could do it justice if we tried to cram everything we loved into one episode. Of the
Absolutely.
podcast.
No, no. Yeah, you're right.
So yeah, you guys get to listen to us nerd out about it for another week. And hopefully you're still around afterwards.
Absolutely. So let's talk about where we left off, right? Because Camilla has asked Luz to make a pretty serious promise when she goes through the mirror, when she sees her through this weird portal-like situation. And that's basically what's bothering Luz right now, because she is no closer to making a portal to the human realm than she was back then. And the one attempt that she made was kind of like goofy. I wouldn't say goofy, but it was like a makeshift thing, and it didn't work like they thought it would. So there's a lot of questions about that, really. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about the whole situation with the Coven Day Parade.
Yeah, I mean, Camilla asking Luz to like make a promise to stay
Yeah.
is a big deal, especially because Luz has
Yeah.
been avoiding it for so long, like just avoiding telling her mom the truth, and then
Yeah.
obviously, telling her like the specifics of where she is and why she wants to be there, and also like what
Yeah.
she's doing, because I would imagine it's not an easy thing.
No.
Just like say, hey, I'm in an alternate dimension and I'm learning magic and I live with the coolest witch.
Yeah.
And also I think just given the way they kind of, I don't want to say parted, but like given like the way things kind of ended before the start of Luz's stint in the Boiling Isles, it's kind of
Things were
hard to
not great.
falter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to falter for like being nervous
Oh,
about
yeah.
telling her mom stuff. And then also
For
like
sure.
since the beginning, like since she's been in the Boiling Isles, she's like built a new life almost. She had like a new group of friends. She's learning new things. It's a completely different experience. And I think especially for Luz, it's one that's like probably like something that she finds more fulfilling than whatever
Yeah.
camp her mom was gonna send her to. So I
Yeah.
think it would be a hard thing for her to admit, hey, I found a better experience on my own and I didn't go to the place that you wanted to send me to.
Yeah.
And by the way, I haven't told you this for like however many months have
Oh,
passed since
God.
like the start of the show. So yeah, it's an interesting predicament to like find her in, but one I think that not a lot of people envy her because that's a tough thing to like try and have to do to tell your parents like, hey, I know you
I'm in
wanted
a
to send
weird,
me.
yeah.
Yeah, you wanted one thing for me, and I completely disregarded that and did something else. Surprise.
Surprise! Yeah, it's not fun. Definitely. But let's talk about the Coven Day Parade, because there's been a lot of talk about it, and this is where we find out what it's all about and what's going on, and basically what Belos has planned. And it's a weird thing. Let's talk about that, and let's talk about what Ida and Luce's plan is, because they think Rain is. And this is based on some solid evidence from the last time Ida saw them. That they are in trouble and that they're still working for the Emperor's Coven, even though they were captured by the Coven heads. And that's suspicious, and they don't know why that is. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Coven Day Parade and what their plan is for the Coven Day Parade, because there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, also, I just have to say, like, I know it's like not a minor thing, but comparatively, it's like a footnote in the overall arc for season two. But I love that, like, Luce is just so wholesome, and her first instinct is to, like, I don't care what side you're on, if you need help, I'll try helping first, and then we'll skip to fighting if, like, all
Yeah.
else fails. But,
Yeah.
yeah, because, like, I mean, this episode, like, was not expecting to feel sorry for Kiki Moore. But I think having
Well,
Luz kind of reach out to her,
yeah.
like, I think it makes her more sympathetic. And then when Kiki Moore just, does her Kiki Moore thing, and it's kind of like stabs
Oh,
Luz in the
of
back
course
for
you
it, then it's
would.
like, okay, so we were right in disliking you. yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's just, like you said, there's a lot going on. It is kind of interesting that, like, I guess knowing the full story now, and, like, obviously all these other
We're
Coven Days,
talking
like,
about
comes
it in
before,
retrospect right now, but yeah.
yeah, but, like, Follies of the Coven Day Parade comes before another really big reveal in
Oh,
the show.
God,
So watching it the
yes.
first time, I didn't think about it, but, like, since the show has ended, I've always wondered, like, the Boiling Isles has been around for who knows how long, and, like, Velos pops up, assumes emperorship, and has basically, like, convinced the people that, like, the Coven Day Parade is one thing and means a certain thing. But it's like, is nobody alive who remembered how it was, like, before? Or, like, is there no, like, record of how, I guess, the Boiling Isles were, like, pre-Belos, or, like, Clarine's
Well,
weird,
we'll
like,
get
wild
into
magic?
that. We'll get into that because we do see a bit of it. And then I have some theories about what that was all about, to be honest with you. And we'll talk about that because that is a very important reveal, like you said. That blew my mind. And that is true. And we will talk about that reveal, but this episode is mainly like, I feel like Belos, even though people say he's been emperor for just 50 years, and they've mentioned it till they mentioned it in I think Youngblood Old Souls, which is the season one finale, that he basically formed the turned the Isles into an empire about a few decades ago. But I do feel like, and this is knowing what we know, and we'll talk about this even more when we find out, when we talk about that big reveal, is that there was a lead up to it from what I can tell. And that's what I want to actually focus on when we talk about that big reveal. But I feel like Belos had been planning this for a while, and he did a good job of, dealing with any dissenters, to be honest. So that's how I think people don't remember what it was like pre-Belos. And I find that it's really sad,
I
but
mean,
I
like, dissenters
guess.
are one thing, but I feel like he didn't go after all the books, did he? Am I just forgetting things? I think there would have, like, there
Well,
would have to be, like, a written record somewhere, right? Like, it would exist. Like, there should be. I don't know. You would think it's, like, the type of thing that people would write
that's a
down, or, like,
question for Dana, I feel like,
probably. But, like, I don't know. I just, maybe it's just applying too much logic to a situation where there really isn't that much to be applied, but, like, I'm just thinking, like, somebody would have had to, like there would have been history or something. And unless Belos pulled, like, a really, like, dick move and, like just purged dissenters, like, records, everything. I feel like some information should have survived. And if it's, like, in a, like, a library or something, like, it, like, that's a readily information, like, readily available information. So you would think that, I don't know. And also, just, like, I guess especially for like scholars and stuff, like you would think that they would be able to kind of figure out just because they probably have access to like those sort of texts or documents or whatever, or like they might just be studying anyway. You would think that they would probably know, or like people would be studying, I guess, magic, I guess, pre-Belus's rule and all of that. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. And we'll talk about it more when we get to that big reveal. I think he did a good job of, brainwashing them. And I will talk about that when we get to Elsewhere and Elsewhen, because that is the episode that comes with another huge reveal that the audience can interpret, but not the characters themselves, which I think is another great move. So let's talk about this Coven Day parade, because basically this is Belus laying on the propaganda really thick. He's like, I appreciate all your support. We're gonna do the Day of Unity. We'll make it, this will make us really strong. This is what the Titan wants, all that stuff. And something is off about this. Like, how is he claiming to be the only one to be able to speak to the Titan or whatever? Because the Titan is the Boiling Isles. Why is he the only person who gets to speak to it? And how did he? I think, again, the fact that he managed to build a castle around a very vital part of the Titan is, well, not so great for the people. But yeah, we're gonna talk about all of that. But this, I think what we saw here is more of a face reveal for Belos, which is, and Willow and Gus are just like underwhelmed. Let's talk about that because I found that really funny.
I mean, it. I guess when you're like the build up has been like this is a big, scary looking dude, and then you get to the reveal and it's that. It's like you looked scarier with a mask, dude. No offense.
That too.
No, I can't. I don't know. I can't blame them for being underwhelmed. I don't know that it's underwhelming, but having the reveal didn't have, I think, or like
The
seeing his face didn't
desired
have the
effect.
reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
At least on me. I mean, I'm sure maybe other people were
No,
like
because we saw his
taken back, but
face.
like,
Like, we literally saw it in Eclipse Lake. Not in Eclipse Lake. Did we see it in Eclipse Lake? Yeah. Because that's when Hunter sees I think that's the first time we see this dude's face, like, but for the people of the Boiling Isles, they've never seen it, and that's what's really shocking to me. Then they're like, it's nothing kind of deal,
I mean, I guess on some level, if we're talking like propaganda type stuff,
yeah.
maybe it's like in like a weird way, it kind of makes sense that he did it at the parade and like
Yeah.
it with like a big audience and stuff. But
Yeah.
I don't know, just kind of given his nature, like his vibe or whatever you want to call it. I always expected that, like, if he was going to do a reveal, it was going to be like super dramatic and like.
I think he thought that was dramatic, but like
No, I
it
was thinking more
didn't.
like, I guess like more medieval, like where he would just like have people brought before him for like punishment or something, and like the last thing they
Oh,
would see
yeah.
would be his face or something dumb like
Maybe.
that. But I mean, it kind of, I guess, works in his favor to reveal it the way he did. Because then he can frame it as like, look at what happened to me, and like just broadcast his message to as many people
Yeah.
as are in attendance. Whereas if he just like did it in the confines of his castle, it would just be whatever poor souls were bought before him, and like in whatever creepy way he wanted to like
No,
reveal his face to
I
them.
understand what you're saying. Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. It would have been creepier, but I prefer it being underwhelming because I think after everything we know about Belos, he's just that kind of person. That's what I would say about him at this point. But let's talk about Rain because that was heartbreaking because Ida loves them so much. And It's just hard for me to see Ida confront them and be like, "Don't you remember this? We basically, I was trying to save you. I couldn't save you, and I'm sorry, but what's going on with you?" And Rain's just like, "We haven't seen each other in months. You're a wild witch. I can't be associating with you. I'm a coven head," kind of deal. And that kind of breaks your heart. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely like, in some ways, almost like a tragic love story. Just because, I mean, Ida, I don't think Ida has ever had regrets about not joining Coven and just doing what she does,
Not
but
at
maybe
all. Yeah,
until this moment
exactly.
where Rain is like, "I can't associate with you." And then she's like, "Oh, okay." And I think maybe it's like the first time that she's had to, I guess. I don't want to say like come to terms with it, because I don't know that Ida would change anything even for Rain, as like mean as that may sound.
Yeah.
But it's like it's a really difficult position to be in, because obviously I think she understands how important her position is. She's like not being part of a coven and just being
Yeah.
able to like practice wild magic and all of that. But also at the same time, she really cares about them and she doesn't want to lose them, I would imagine. And so it's like a weird situation to be in, where it's like she can't give up, you know, her lifestyle, because that's just not an option, and she's not like, it's just not something she's gonna do, at least not
Yeah.
willingly. But at the same time, again, she doesn't want to lose Rain, and like they were really close with each other, and
They loved each other. It was dumb, but yeah, of course. It was a
yeah, so
difficult
it's
situation for both of them. Rain was like, "I can't be with someone who keeps secrets from me." And Ida, being herself, was like, "I can't let them be dragged into this," kind of thing, you know, which is sad, but that's who she is, unfortunately, and that kind of ended up hurting both of them at that point.
Yeah, it's a lot of like almost like miscommunication.
Oh yeah, a lot.
Just
Definitely a lot. Yeah, for sure, dude.
not like being on the same page or not being like entirely upfront with each other, which I mean, I can understand why, but at the same time, it's like you guys have just talked. You'd be in a
Exactly.
very different position.
No, I definitely agree, dude. It definitely is a case of serious miscommunication. Like, I will wholeheartedly agree that it is a case of serious miscommunication. And let's talk about Velos's announcement of the Day of Unity, because that sounds like a really big event, and it turns out to be a huge event, but they don't know what it means just yet. Let's talk about that. Because what were your first impressions of that when you first heard about it? What did you think?
I mean, I think given that it's Bellas making the announcement, it's hard to like trust anything he said.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude.
Because I'll also look, I mean, at this point, even if you don't, if you hadn't seen, you know, the like later episodes and stuff like that, and if you'd watched this like when it aired, I think we were all just kind of like, okay, Bellas is building up to something, but what? And
Yeah,
then when
what is
he like,
it?
you know, goes into his whole spiel, it's like, okay, he's saying something. But he's still not, like, it doesn't sound like it's entirely true. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, maybe that's just also me. I was just, like, naturally suspicious. It's like, something about this seems fishy. But,
He is
yeah, I
fishy in
mean,
general. Like, that dude is a fishy dude in general.
yeah. That's why I was, like, even though he was, like, making these, like, this big announcement, and he was, like, trying to frame it as, like, oh, this is such, like, a, like, you know, auspicious type, you know, day or whatever you want to call it. The way, like, even though he says it one way, there's like this almost like underlying current of like
Dishonesty.
stuff is about to go down. Yeah,
Yeah.
that too. I mean, I think at this point, you know, it, like, even if you hadn't seen any of the episodes that came
Yeah.
after, like, if you just watched this and like had only seen the episodes that came before, I think everything that Velos has done has kind of proved that he's not a good person or
Yeah.
somebody that you should be rooting for, because the story never really frames him that way. And not to say that it should or it needed to, because, you know, I guess in some cases it is, you can just have a guy be a villain. Like, you don't need to make him sympathetic or whatever. He can
Oh,
just
yeah.
be unlikable. But I think because, like, up until now, there was no sort of instance of, like, making Belos likable.
Yeah.
So by the time he makes this announcement, it's like, well, you've given us, like, nothing to go on in terms of, like, good thing.
Yeah, but that's to be expected with him. Like, it's, I mean, that's the thing. He's like, what is he planning? It can't be good kind of deal. That was my whole thing about that. Let's talk about Elsewhere and Elsewhen, because oh my God, what an episode. Because it starts off as something silly, right? Literally, it really starts off as something silly, like Lilith getting a new job at the museum outside of the Emperor's Coven, and her basically trying to start a new life. And then it turns into Luz basically being so hard on herself about not being able to build a portal successfully. And she offhandedly mentions, hey, I wish I could talk to him. And then that's when the whole idea of going back in time for time magic becomes a thing. So let's talk about that, because I feel like they don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
how it turned out to be something so crazy when they actually went that route. Let's talk about that.
one, Luz blaming herself is, like,
Classic Luz.
understandable, but
Child, you are a baby. Don't blame yourself for this.
yeah, I mean, it's understandable why she would, but it's also like
Yeah.
you're being too hard on yourself. Like, it's not all on you, and it
Just like
wasn't
another
like.
character that we know, but whatevs, right?
But I mean, it was just I don't know, watching that bit where she's just like you said, just being really hard on herself. It's like, well, I'll give her a hug. It's like, it's not your
Of
fault. I
course we
mean,
do.
of course, like, there are things I'm sure that she needs to, like, work on and improve and all of that,
Yeah,
but
that's,
like, taking the blame
yeah.
for this was not one of them. Like, I mean, it wasn't
No.
something that she needed to do, and it wasn't something that she needed to fix. And, like, you can list a bunch of things that maybe she needed to fix, or things that she should have done or needed to do, and all of that. But, like,
Yeah.
I don't know. There is an
Dealing with
element of,
the
like,
portal was
her.
not one of them, girl.
Like,
So please, it's
even
okay.
if she, I mean, maybe you have put some of that on her, but dealing with it is one thing. But, like, taking responsibility for, like, everything related to it is, like,
Yeah.
a little bit too much, in my opinion.
It is,
I mean,
I
and also, like, she's
agree.
a kid, like, how much. I mean, I know, and especially having been in a somewhat similar position where it's like you kind of tend to, like, just take on too much and then kind of, like, kick yourself about it later. I do understand where she's coming from, but I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was, like, out of her control, and, like, a lot of stuff that even if she was like even if opening the portal was her goal, there was stuff related to that that just was not on her at all. And
Oh yeah, for
it kind
sure.
of felt like she was, like, so kind of frustrated by everything that she was just, everything is my fault. And then,
Yeah.
I don't know, like I said, you kind of just want to, like, reach to the screen and give her a hug.
Of course, I agree.
but,
I wish I could. But I also want to state how good this episode is at showcasing how much of a nerd Lilith is. So let's talk about that.
I mean, she's, like, in season one, I was not preparing to like Lilith or root for her at all. By season two, I was
Exactly.
like, I love her. Give her a hug as well. She's so
Exactly.
cute and nerdy. Yeah, no, she's like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think, like, without the expectations, without trying to, like, prove herself to her mom or to Ida, maybe even to herself, it's like
Yeah.
she's a lot more, I don't want to say carefree, because, I mean, there's, like, this
I don't think
big thing looming
carefree
over
is the
them, but, like,
word. Yeah, you're right. I don't think carefree is the word. I think the word is nerd. She's an idiot, and I love her for it. It's like,
yeah, I mean, she's a nerd, but, like, there is, like, some element of, like, I guess, like, freedom almost, if that makes any sense with her.
yeah.
Like, I think part of it is, like, being free from Belos, like, literally, but also just, like, like,
Free from those expectations, I feel like. Yeah, I agree.
yeah, and she's less like the, I guess, season one Lilith would have been like, oh, you never applied yourself, Ida, you just, like, did this, and or you didn't do this, and I did all of this, and I got to where I am through, like, hard work and stuff, and you're not, working hard and stuff like that. It's less like, I think she's like less uptight in season two.
Oh yeah, for
That was because
sure.
she
But
doesn't need to
then,
like keep up appearances and like pretend to do something just to, attempt to
I
help her
mean,
sister.
that's true. It's not that she isn't uptight anymore. Like she's less
And she has
uptight,
her
I'd say.
moments. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think she has her
like
moments in season two where
she's
she's like,
still that person, of course. But it's like,
yeah.
but she's less, she's more open to new ideas and changing things up and understanding that her worldview might not have been the right one and that she has to change the way she thinks about things for her to, be okay with her life. Because what does success mean to her if not being in the Emperor's Coven? And if like her whole worldview was challenged, like you said, and now she's a different person. But what I do love about this really is how they managed to turn a silly episode into something so crazily big that like it changed. I feel like it changed, not I feel, it did change everything about this show, this episode did. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the time pools, and let's talk about Bonesboro before Bellows, because there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes with like time travel episodes can be hit or miss depending on the show, but I think this one like did a really good job with not only making it super important to the plot, but then also making it like a really like funny episode to watch. Because like we said in the beginning, it kind of starts out a little bit like lighthearted, well,
Yeah.
more lighthearted than the end at least. And then like you have this bit of like Luz and Lilith just like hopping in and out of time pools trying to find the right one. And then eventually they make it to the Deadwardian era, which also
Yeah.
I know I think we've said this before, but I just love the like the punny names, like the
Yeah.
Deadwardian era don't make me giggle. They eventually make it back there and they meet Philip Woodabin and try and get information on the portal door from him. And it's a very interesting episode because at first it seems like he's very accommodating. And then it gets to that point where he's almost like too accommodating.
Yeah,
And I'm
it's
just like,
like,
oh, he's helping them an awful
no, I love
lot.
how
And
Lilith mentions this, but yeah, exactly. Like he, it turns out that let's talk about again. We'll talk about them meeting Philip in a second, but there's a bit of this episode that shows how people were towards each other in the Boiling Isles, before Bellows was a thing. And they were just practicing all sorts of magic and were so welcoming, and everything was peaceful. And then basically Luce was right to ask the question, why did Bellows think that the Titan would hate this? This looks great. And Lilith has no answer for that, right? So this is where you start poking holes in. I mean, you already questioned it, but this is like literally saying, look at this. This is what the Boiling Isles should have been like, and something's not right about what Bellows is saying. It basically just cements that here, literally. And this is when we meet Philip, and who and basically he's, like you said, in the beginning he's all accommodating. He's just like, yeah, I can help you with this, and I can help you get, but you kind of have to help me first, kind of deal. And Lilith makes a very good point. She's like, I don't like how this guy is complimenting us for everything. He sounds too accommodating. He sounds too good to be true. And I want to talk about the glyphs here, right? Because Bella says something that's really interesting to me. He's like, Luz shows, Luz needs, basically, they're in a weird cave kind of thing. But then they basically need to, they need some light, and Luz is just like, she just draws the light glyph because that was the first glyph she learned, and it came, and the rest of them came so easy to her. And I love, and Philip mention makes an offhanded comment about almost as if the world was hiding them from me. I didn't, it took me years to find all of them. That is not a good thing, considering the Isles were sentient. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds pretty sinister, right? Like when you think about it that way. But then also, if you help, like if you're in the process of helping somebody, and then like their next reaction after getting what they want, or like their next comment is like, "Oh, so it does exist, but I had never found it until now." That's weird. Like, or I mean, the way I phrase it is not a good way to phrase it, but like the way Bellows actually says it, I mean, Whitabane says it in the show, is like that. It just is very sinister sounding. It's just very like
It is.
odd to like say that too. Like, if somebody gives you something, you say thank you, not like, oh, it's almost like the world was hiding this from me. That's like that. That just it's a weird
That's
thing
like
to
a
say.
warning
And
sign.
yeah, and also I heard your
Literally.
question, but also like not maybe this is applying too much real world logic to a fictional world, but it is very weird that somebody, I mean, not very weird, but it is weird that, you know, somebody like him is just being ultra accommodating and he's not getting anything out of this interaction either. And you would think that for somebody in his position, he would want something from Luz and Lilith, but he's like, at the beginning, he's just like ultra accommodating. He's like, yeah, whatever you want, like, I'll take you around, I'll show you things, and like, I'll answer questions. And yeah, I mean, it's not difficult for him to do, but it's still like, he's talking with people who are not from his time period, and he's pretending to be something of a scholar on some level, I guess. And he's not asking them for anything in return. That just sounds like a really bad deal for him. So, yeah, it's just a very weird, like, watching the first time and not knowing what comes after, I was like, this is an odd interaction.
Yeah,
But now that, you
definitely.
know, we have context for the whole thing, it makes more sense in hindsight.
It totally does. It's like, it makes a lot of sense how he acted. He's just like, there's many, how do I put this? There's many clues hidden in this episode as well, right? They're like neatly hidden that when he was, that he was like, when he was basically writing, when he was talking to those people who were bullying him, they were they he basically was like, once I they were like asking about one of their companions, who went with this guy last, and he's like, I don't know what happened, I can't help, I couldn't help them. But that's like, he's at that point you just like, okay. But then they show you hints that there was a blue fang in his bag and a talisman. There were so many clues there, and it's like, something's fishy about this. And he literally draws a teleportation glyph. It's an intricate glyph, like crazy. He draws that, and he's like, he just says it's a shortcut to the collector, and they end up in the Titan's head. And again, this is a get really surprising, but then Lilith is like, what, really? But this is sacred ground, we can't be here, kind of thing. And this is where what you said comes into play, where like, yes, there are some things that survived the pre-Bellows era, but I think it survived it because it served Bellows for people to know that this was a sacred site and not everyone should be here, right? And not only did Philip lead them there, he tricked them so that they would be sacrifices until he found what he wanted, which was the collector. So let's talk about all of that, because that plays a huge role later. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like hard to kind of watch Luz come to the realization that she's just helped this guy who's then literally
That
spawned
happens,
behind,
that's
like,
later, but yeah, exactly.
yeah, but I mean, it's all like in the lead up to like this big moment, right? Where he's like, Initially he's like,
Yeah.
I'll help you, and then it ends with like, yeah, you know how I said I'd help? Well, I'm helping myself because I didn't specify. Like, yeah, it's a like weird sort of thing where he's, I think, I don't even know so much if he's trying to like pretend like he's helping Luce and poorly disguising his intentions, because I think as viewers we pick up on it. And I think, I
Yeah.
mean, Lilith is suspicious, so it's like, it's not just us as viewers. Like, even in the moment, the characters themselves are kind of, like questioning this guy's intentions. But I mean, I guess you have to give him some credit that he's just like, oh yeah, like this is just what we do here in the Deadwardian era. And like, just follow me and everything will be fine. I'll give you the answers you want, until like the last moment he's like, haha, psych, it was a trap.
Oh my
And I
God.
think as viewers are like, yeah, we saw that coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
And Luke probably sees it too. But I think Luz is like really just desperate for answers. And I think she wants to find a way to, rebuild that portal so badly that she's kind of like, I don't say blind to Philip's weirdness, but I think it's definitely lower on the priority list for her. But the thing right now, it's like, for her, it's, can I get answers? And if I can't, great. If I can't, then, back to the drawing board, whatever. But like, there's no sort of like in between, I think, at that moment for her. It was just like, either I get the answers or I don't. And if I don't, then I go back to the drawing board. If I do get them, just follow this lead for as long as I can. And
Yeah.
I think maybe to a certain extent, that just kind of, I don't want to say blinded her, but maybe like pulled her focus from like the weirdness and like the weird vibes that Philip was emitting. Because I feel like otherwise, maybe like Luce is perceptive, she would have totally like picked up on it. But I think at this moment, it was all about like, I need information for the portal and I need it badly. And if
Yeah.
he has it, I'll do whatever it takes to get it, type of thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what ends up happening. But then I love how they get out of that predicament, and also how they confront Philip about this. Because Luz uses some of the knowledge that she gained from Lilith throughout this whole time pool thing and basically helps them escape. And then they confront Philip, which is one of the best scenes in this thing, because he's just like, I don't care, but I need another sacrifice. Then I can probably tell you about what you want about the portal to the human realm. And Lilith is just so mad, she just punches him in the nose. It's just one of the coolest things. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, also, they're not stupid. If you're going to sacrifice somebody and then say, I'm going to sacrifice you, and then I'll give you what you want, like, they know they're not going to get it. Why would they make that
Yeah.
deal then? Like, but yeah, I mean, watching her, like, take out her frustrations on him was very satisfying, although I would have liked for it to be more intense. Because, yeah,
Absolutely.
I mean, after everything, like, they went through in that episode, and, like, I think how much. I mean, obviously Philip doesn't know this, but like how much Luce was counting on this to like work.
Yeah.
Like you do kind of feel bad in the end that it doesn't work, and then he ends up being such a like jerk the whole time. And then,
Yeah.
he ends up doing what he attempts to do, which is trying to sacrifice them. But it's also just like that did make me laugh that he was like, I'll sacrifice you, then I'll tell you what you want. It's like they're not babies, like they weren't born yesterday, like
I
everything I
know.
tend to like be funny, like make a good joke, not like only one. I don't know. It was just a very weird thing. Like, I don't, it always makes me laugh, but just because it's like so dumb.
It was dumb. I definitely agree. Let's all, because I think there was the other thing about this episode that was so great was how Ida deals with her dad. Because I think she was her dad. I wouldn't say she was her dad's favorite, but I think she loved her dad a lot. And then she feels so guilty about what she did to him in her Albeast form that she hasn't talked to him since. And he's like, you are my baby. I haven't talked to you in 30 years. I can't keep chasing you. What's going on? I wish you'd let me help you, kind of deal. And it was so painful to see that, because he just wants to be her parent in this instance. And She's just feeling terribly guilty. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it is very bittersweet because, like, on the one hand, I think you understand where she's coming from and you appreciate that it's like a very difficult position to be in where you've caused harm to somebody that you really love. But then on the other hand, it's like he's already forgiven her for that, like, whether she wants it or not, because whether, like, Ida, as much as I love her, like, she can feel however she feels about the incident, but the actual act of forgiving, like, that's on her dad to make. And Ida Kate isn't really in control of that. And so if her dad wants to, like, if he's made his peace with it and if he's forgiven her, that's his choice and he's totally within his rights to do so. So it's just kind of like depressing when you think about it that she spent all this time trying to avoid him because she's still afraid of hurting him, of like doing something to him the way she did the first time. But it's like, I don't even think he cares about that. He's just kind of like thinking, I'm getting older. I maybe only have so much time left. I just want to spend it with my family and I don't really care about the other stuff.
I don't think he even did back then. It was just that.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, back then, you know, he was younger, and so I don't know if there was like this big like question mark in terms of his like lifespan hovering over him. But now, you know, it has spent decades like avoiding him, and so now her dad's a lot older, and I don't know, maybe being older now, he's thinking like, I don't know how much time I have left. I should like cherish whatever time I do have left type thing. But even if he wasn't thinking that, like, I think at the end of the day, it's like Ida's his daughter and he just wants to spend time with her. And he's just like, I can only do so much, like you said. And short of like forcing her to do it, which isn't really an option. He's kind of like done everything he thought he could do. So it's bittersweet to kind of see
It
them
really
at like
is.
that like point where it's like they both really care about each other, and it's kind of wholesome when you think about it. But it's also just like, again, miscommunication. They're not like talking and like telling each other why they're doing what they're doing, which is, I think, probably the root of the problem
It
or some part
was.
of
It really
it.
was. I agree. But then we also get to one of the biggest reveals as the audience in this episode. Because, again, props to Matthew Rhys for how he voiced this character. And then we see something so shocking that, because Philip, we know that he's a jerk, right? He's an absolute dickweed. I'm sorry, but he is. Okay, but
Not
like,
from
but then when we see him at the end of this episode, he's just like digging. He's in some sort of lair, and he's basically carved glyphs on his own arm, and then he's basically stashed away palisman, and he's using the magic within the palisman to prolong his own life. And he looks at the collector thing that he has, and he was like, I just need to live long enough to see this through. Like, and you know that that's Bellows now, with that voice. His voice changes in that. What did you think of that? Because when I first saw that, my jaw dropped. I was like, holy shit, I knew it. It was leading up to it, but to actually see it happen and to see it confirmed, like, holy shit. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really big reveal. I think, like you said, I think this show had been leading up to it for some time, and they had placed a lot of like really like good clues pointing to that, and I think it was like a weird thing because I think we were simultaneously like not surprised but also shocked at the same time because it was
Exactly.
such a like well done reveal in that like in this particular episode, like seeing the transition from him being Philip Wedderbane to Bellows is like it, I don't know, there's something really cool about it and like the way that it was done. But like you said earlier also, like the show had been leading up to it and like there were clues throughout the whole, you know, first season and up to this point in the second season. So
That something's not right with this dude. That something's fishy about
yeah.
him, kind of thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, what's his connection to everything else that's going on? But yeah, like when you have this reveal, like it's like a, in some ways, it explains a lot, but then you have so many questions at the same time, too, because it's like, I mean, Philip would have been came from the same, world that Luke did, or the same dimension, whatever you want to call
Yep.
it. So obviously, there's some time separating the two.
Yeah.
But really, like, when you think about what he's trying to do or what he's attempting to do, it all just kind of boils down to, like you said, just prolonging his life. And it's like all of this, like this huge elaborate lie, and like all this stuff about like the Coven Day parade, and like one of magic being harmful, and like making the covens, and like this
Oh, it gets
kind of
worse
move.
in a future episode. Don't get me wrong. It gets worse. And that's like, again, oh my God. I think I think that's one of the biggest things that we see here in this episode. But then the next couple of episodes are not exact, I wouldn't exactly call them fillery, but they're also like, because they are sort of advancing the plot a little bit, but they're also not like super plot heavy, I
Relevant, I guess,
guess.
to like, well, I mean, I guess it's subjective, but like they're not doing much to like advance like the whole Bellows arc and
Yeah.
the portal stuff. I mean, they're fun episodes. They're really cute to watch, but
Yeah. Like, because
they're not doing a lot for like the main plot.
there's stuff like Hunter going to Hexside and basically posing as a kid named Caleb, which is a name that his little palisman gives him now, which again turns out to be something else, and we'll get to that later as well. And then there's so much going on there because he meets Willow. He kind of has a happy day outside of being in the Emperor's Coven with them, and which is again really sweet. But then I think this is where you start to see him doubting his place in all of this, to be honest. And then there's this whole thing with Luce and her trauma, because we find out that her dad died when she, a few years ago. So let's talk about that, because I think that episode did a wonderful job of, showcasing how grief can work in a weird way. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to be said about Luz and not, like, her not being able to, I guess, process her grief in that moment. Because, I mean, I think she kind of, like, alludes to this in the episode, but, like, I think a lot of her reactions in reaching out kind of stem from just not being with her mom on this, like,
Oh my
really
God, I have to talk about
important
the
day.
voice acting in that portion of this, because in the beginning, because Amity really cares about Luz. She really just wants to know, dude, what's going on with you? You lied to me about this stuff. You can't just keep doing this. And I love her voice. And again, both of them, fabulous job. But Sarah's voice acting in this was so, I just loved it. The way she was like, today is the anniversary of my dad passing away, and he used to give us flowers, and once after he died, my mom and I used to give each other flowers, give each other flowers on each other's birthday. And on this day, when to commemorate him, we used to spend the day together. And I love how she says, it's nice, but this year I'm not with her and I don't have any flowers. And I'm like,
I know it is very bittersweet because it's like on the one hand, like yes, she and Camila are apart, but like also, I mean, Luz has like this new great group of like friends and stuff, and I'm sure if she had just mentioned, I don't think any of them would have tried to replace her dad or make her think
No,
that they could be a surrogate father or
not at
daughter figure,
all.
whatever.
But
But I think
like,
if she had mentioned it, they would have come together and they would have said, okay,
and done
here's what we can do to
something.
help you. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, the voice acting here is, it's just, it breaks your heart. You want to reach out into the screen and hug this kid in that instant. And
Yeah, and also like I don't, this is probably just me, and just I feel like my brain just does this thing where I'm like very invested in like a particular show or like whatever, where I just make comparisons that don't really make sense. But watching Luz in that episode reminded me of another character from another show that you and I love very much that we keep referencing, but we never say the name of. I don't know why. Probably because if we start talking about it, like we've been
We'll
saying, we'll
never
just
stop.
keep blabbing about it.
Oh, God.
But there's a bit in that show. I don't know why Maggie like this is a
No,
secret.
I
It's
know
not a secret,
exactly which
but
one you're talking about. You're talking about the coronation. I know exactly which moment you're talking about.
well,
And
coronation, and then also like towards the end when there's a big kind of fight
oh
that
yeah,
happens because
I know
certain
exactly what
people
you're talking
didn't work
about.
through their grief and trauma, and now they're just like a ball of nerves. And
Oh God.
after having
Again,
seen that, it was like
this
I
episode
didn't
does
want
a
Luz to
really
end up
good
that
job
way.
of that, because this episode really does a great job of that, because after she spills that out, she just Luz is just physically, she can't get up. It's drained her talking about it, thinking about it, holding it in all day. And I love how they showed that. And I love how Amity was like, I don't know what you do in the human realm, but after all this is done, I'll help you pick some flowers and we're gonna do something here. And that's really sweet. You know, like I love that. And they do. She may Luz basically does pick some flowers with Amity, and then they basically send them out in an abomination like balloon, and then just send it out with a wish. Which is like so sweet. I kind of love that. But it also
Yeah, it's
breaks your
really
heart.
helpful. Yeah, I mean, there's so much about it, but like I said, I mean, having seen instances where other characters don't work through like their grief and trauma and knowing
Oh,
where it ends
yeah.
up, it's like it's really apples and oranges comparing any other franchise or show to this one. But it's like
You can feel those moments.
you,
Yeah, I know what you
yeah, it's
mean,
like
though.
Luz is so like bright and wholesome, and it's like, I mean, she goes through a lot, but like she never loses like that, I don't know, spark about her, for lack of a better term. Maybe
Yeah.
hence her name, but yeah, it's like, I mean, after seeing that in other characters and like knowing how, I mean, even just like in the real world, right? Like if you don't process certain things, if you don't like, allow yourself to feel certain things, and if you keep everything bottled up, there will probably be a time when you reach a breaking point, and it's like you don't want to see Luz go through that because she
Yeah.
already has so much on her plate right
Oh
now,
God, yes.
and like a mental breakdown is like the last thing she needs. But also, yeah, it's also just like, again, I mean, eventually Amity ends up, helping her do this thing, but it's like if she just mentioned from the start, Ida, Lilith, Hootie, King, Amity, they just
They'd have
all
done
would have been there.
anything to
Like,
help her. Yeah,
yeah,
I
so I feel like she's
definitely
already done
agree.
so much to like help them. So, but I don't think she was looking at it that way. I think for her, it was just like, okay, I put blinders on. I can't think about it. I just
And
do
that's
what you
the
have to
thing,
do.
right?
And
Because if she thinks about it, all she can think of is how she's not with her mother in this moment. And that's not okay for her. And I love how this episode showcased that grief can make you act out in weird ways. And I kind of love that they showed that and how it was supported and how no one was putting her down for that, or I think no one would have, but it's interesting that they showed that, and I really loved it, actually. It was great. And Ida kind of find out about more information about the Day of Unity, which is kind of a weird thing, but we'll get more into that later. But let's talk about the cutest episode that I think I can ever come up with for Rain and Ida, which is a flashback to them as babies, which is the cutest thing because they are a chaotic duo if you ever met one, and they're ridiculous. So let's talk about that.
Oh my God, they were so cute together as little kids. And like you said, just a menace. But I think that's what
In
made
the best
them,
way, yeah.
yeah. But I think that's what made them like attracted to each other and what made their dynamic work really well.
Work,
That
yeah,
like,
exactly.
even though they were, I guess, I mean, everybody has certain differences, But they just had something about, like, I guess their energy, that like her energy with each other just really worked.
It just
And
worked.
it like they were just like a wildfire. They were just like making havoc, just being like little shits, but like in the best way. And
Exactly.
it was just like very endearing to watch, but it's very bittersweet because like we're seeing like the flashbacks, and you know the flashbacks are wholesome and like cute and happy and all of that, but it's all kind of like tainted almost, because you know that in the present timeline, Rain is not
Talking
with
to Ida.
Ida, and yeah,
Yeah.
and they're just kind of like off doing their own thing, seemingly brainwashed, and it just, I don't know, it just kind of hurts a little bit because you're like, how would you go from like that to what ends up happening, like what the present situation is, which like is
It
again
hurts, but
not.
I do want to talk about that because Rain's a freaking badass, right? Because they've been tricking Terra Snapdragon this whole time. They've been tricking this bitch, right? Like, I want to say, because the hints were subtle, right? Because they're a bard, right? Rain is a bard, and they're the head witch of the bard coven, literally. And even when they were little, they were like, you know, I love bard magic, and this is how you can change the chemistry of any liquid with sound waves, with a whistle. And they demonstrated that. And then later, they show them doing the exact same thing to the weird tea slash potion slash hypnotizing little shitty thing that Terra has been giving them. So that means they've been okay this whole time. And they've been plotting with Darius about overthrowing or looking into what Belus is doing. So let's talk about that, because I think that was super duper cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it, I mean, one, it probably takes a huge amount of skill to be able to do that on a level where nobody knows that you're doing it. And also, I don't even know how like widespread that is, or how many people in the Boiling Isles are aware that you can do that, like just change the chemistry of a liquid with sound waves. But yeah, Rain having that ability is A, super cool, but then B, also just kind of shows, I guess,
How
how
cool they
committed they
are.
are to,
Oh,
like,
yeah,
well,
dude.
yes, but also just how committed they are to, like, I guess, this like kind of
Fight
rebellion of like
against Belos, yeah.
Yeah, and also it just makes it a little bit bittersweet because that means the whole time that they were doing this thing, they were in like, I guess, full control of themselves, and they knew that pushing Ida away would probably hurt her, but they did it anyway because it was to protect her and to like keep her safe and, you know, I guess as far away from the action as possible so like
Far
Belos
away from
couldn't
all
do
of
anything.
this. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
but then I mean it kind of ends up being a moot point because I think by the time we get to Hollow Mind, there's
Oh,
another
God.
reveal that's just like, well.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's the thing, right? Because, again, they're basically, because Darius is sending them a note telling them that, hey, Belos is planning a draining spell, and the only counter to this is Ida the Owl Lady. And Rain is just like, no, there's got to be another way. I'm not gonna use Ida like this. And that's how we end that episode, and that's what's so crazy about it. Then we get to Hollow Mind, which is like, oh my God, can we just talk about how crazy this episode is? Like, there's so many reveals in this episode that, like, and this is what I'm talking about, where the whole brainwashing and everything takes place. Because, like, I swear to you, like, it is so insidious and so well done. It's kind of crazy how they ended up doing this. Because again, this episode starts off really light, right? It's just that they're looking for a witch, they're looking for witch's wool to make to, you know, repair the cape, and basically but actually no, it starts off creepy, but then ends up turns out to be funny, and then goes back to being creepy actually, because it starts off with Hunter and Luce being in the Emperor's mind, which is like a shocker in and of itself. Like, how did that happen? And then the flashback turns funny because they were at some at the night market trying to look for stuff, and Hunter was there too. And then This is where we see, and I think this is obvious that it's Rain, Darius, and Eber trying to get into the Emperor's mind. But then Hunter foils them and gets in there and accidentally activates that potion with Luz there. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about what we think would have happened if it was those three who had gone in instead of these two, because that would have been a different outcome, I feel like. So let's talk about that.
Yes, I mean, one, it's kind of cool, but also kind of creepy that they could just like pop into Bellus's mind like that. But yeah, I mean, I think had it not been Luz and Hunter who would have been in his mind and the other three, like you said, it would have been a different story and maybe the season would have ended right there. I don't know. Either that or like the entirety of the Boiling Isles would have just like exploded and it would have been chaos and like apocalyptic for them. But yeah, I mean, Luz and Hunter being in his mind was one really cool because I think it was also the first time that they had kind of been thrown together with like no outside distractions to kind of like, you know, like get in their way. And they kind of were forced to work together with only each other, like as the thing that
Yeah,
they've relied on.
but again, I want to say this because this is a good callback to understanding Willow, right? Because that's for the first time we saw the mindscape, and then this is another mindscape, which it would and Luz is kind of familiar with it, and Hunter says, "I've read a lot about this subject, so I know this." And it's kind of like, "Why did you get us stuck here?" And they argue about it. And Luz is like, yeah, I want to prove Bellus is evil. And Hunter's like, I'm not, I don't believe you. Why would my uncle be evil? He's trying to help people. And everything that he sees, even though it contradicts that, he's kind of like, I don't believe this. He's still trying to do good. But then you see all these pictures in the background with this was genius, I feel like. What did you think of all those background pictures with Philip and his brother? I
Yeah,
want to
I
talk
mean,
about this.
again, the show does a really good job with like laying the groundwork for like the big reveals, but they're done very subtly and it's all like little clues like sprinkled throughout, like you said, like the background to certain episodes or like in earlier seasons. So when you get to like these big reveals, it's simultaneously not a shocker, but then also like a huge like, oh my God moment because you can't like it just. Whatever, like however you feel about it, I think it's always like the reveals are always, in my opinion anyway, well put together and like it has, I think, the intended effect of a reveal, even if you've kind of seen some of like the clues sprinkled about and if you can kind of guess what's coming. Yeah, like seeing those background images and especially at this point too, because by the time Hollow Mind aired, we already knew that Philip and Bellus were the same person.
We knew, but they didn't, and it's like,
Yeah, I think as viewers, it's not like as big of a
no.
like thing, but still like seeing the stuff that's in the background and like the different like I guess like bits that they kind of incorporated, it just I don't know, it just kind of just adds to everything because again, even though we know it's like Easter eggs for us, but for the characters, they're experiencing it in real time and like we're watching them kind of put the puzzle pieces together.
Oh,
And
God,
I
yeah.
think that part was really cool to watch, a lot of fun, but then also
It
kind of
really was.
nerve-wracking because it's like, I think if you have watched the whole series, I think there are very few people who wouldn't agree with Luz and who would say that, like, yeah, Bellus is absolutely a bad guy and he's like
And he's absolutely
planning.
lying about everything. Like, why would you believe that shitty person? Yeah, exactly.
But then also, like, for Hunter, it's not as simple because Bellus and I guess his
Has
life in the
manipulated him
castle
his
is like,
entire life.
yeah,
Exactly,
and it's
for
all he
sure.
knows, so he doesn't know any better. So it's a difficult, I think, situation for us as viewers to like kind of pick a side or like pick a person to root for because, I mean, Luz totally has a point and she's correct. And I think, again, most viewers would agree with her and would acknowledge that. But then also, like, Hunter, he's wrong, but he's not wrong because he's like willfully ignorant. He's just been manipulated and lied to his whole life. And now, you know, he's in a position where he's slowly starting to find out answers, and it's literally turning his life upside down, even though he doesn't know it yet.
And let's talk about the two sets of flashbacks that we see, right? One set of flashbacks is What is in the big portraits, like the big portraits that you see that Belos wants you to see. And then there's the other set of flashbacks that are actually in his mindscape with some images scratched out, right? I want to talk about both of them, but the manipulation comes through the big portrait flashbacks, right? Because from what I see there, he's been manipulating the people of the Boiling Isles for all this time. Right? Maybe not as Belos, but as some random person through these centuries, which then culminated in him establishing this whole ideology and becoming emperor finally, right? And then you see the other half, right? Where you see the other half where you see Philip being mad that his brother found someone in the Boiling Isles, found a life there. And he didn't like that, and he basically threatened to, not only did he threaten his brother, he actually murdered this brother and did something horrible with him afterward. And what do you think about all of that? And what did you think about the reveal of who the that inner self was for Belos? Because that was creepy as fuck, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's very like Regency era, I guess, Victorian, Edwardian, whatever you want to call it, whatever time period. It's like very like witch hunty and like witch, like Salem witch trials.
Oh,
At least
yeah.
that's the vibe I got. That he was like, I mean, he's in the Boiling Isles, and as Philip, he's pretended to be like this like scholar, scientist, like just a curious person who's like, yeah, I'm going around adventuring and like trying to collect all this information because I want to learn. But deep down, he's got like this burning hatred for like witches and like
Which is
magic
so
and all of
dumb.
that. And
Like, again,
yeah, and
why?
I think for him, like his brother, being who he was and falling in love with somebody in the Boiling Isles was like the ultimate betrayal for
Oh,
him.
yeah, for
And I
sure.
think he was just like, oh, we can't have this. Like, either you're with me or you're against me type mentality. And then as soon as the brother is like, hi, I'm in love with somebody on the Boiling Isles, and I think I'm just gonna stay here and build a nice quiet life, like that type of thing. Belos was just like, oh no, we're not doing this. And then, like you said, yeah, he just murders the guy in cold blood, and that's like the horrific part of it, that he just doesn't really seem to think twice. Maybe doesn't. I feel like he's not as remorseful as you think he should be.
Oh.
And he's just like, yeah, I did what I had to do. And again, it's just like
No, he
you
doesn't
just
care.
you.
He's like full on crazy at this point, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there's two reveals here. Luz finds out that this is Belos because because Belos is Philip, because she's just like, you're a, and he literally reveals that he was a witch hunter. And he's like, this has gone on longer than I thought it would, but I knew being a witch hunter wouldn't be easy. Like, and she's like, why would anyone believe you then? And then he just mocks her and says, don't be so sure, you believe me. And then he shows her how she believed him when he was Philip. And it breaks her heart to see, because if she had known, she'd never help the dude. Like, and then she ends up blaming herself for it. And oh my God, the reveal that Hunter got in this episode, I just cannot. I think that poor boy was scarred for life after this. Like, literally.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, what he literally thought, what did you do to our family? It wasn't wild magic, was it? And all Bella says was like, it's a shame. Out of all the Grimwalkers, you look the most like him. And that's it. That's it. And he tries to kill the hunter right in right in his
Yeah.
mindscape. Like,
It's
what?
very
It's just,
nefarious.
it is. It's insane.
I mean, again, also when you consider like he's a kid. He's like he's what, like 16 max,
Yeah,
maybe?
dude, still a teenager, still a kid. Like, don't
Yeah.
do that. And you're
And
a
also
grown ass man, bro. Like, stop.
until recently he had never done anything other than just like be loyal and like serve him. So kind of seems like a mean way to pay back all that loyalty and
Yeah.
service, but go off, I guess. I don't know.
It's dumb, but oh my God, it hurts so much. But then the good thing is, on the other side of all this, Ida has found a way to, I think with Rain's help secretly, Ida's found a way to bring these kids back from the Mindscape. And what I really like is how they depicted Hunter's reaction when they did come back, right? Because of course Luz is like fucking traumatized from all of this. She's like, oh my God, I saw something crazy. I can't even talk about this. But for Hunter, it's just a lot. He's like, I can't go back. He knows we were in there. I can't go back now. If we do, he's gonna kill me. And he already tried to kill me there. If I go back, he's really, really gonna kill me, and he's gonna finish me off. And that's that panic attack that he has. He's again, it shows. And Ida's like, breathe, it's okay, we can help you out. And even Luz says, I'm sure you can stay with Ida and me once we tell her what's going to ha what happened here. And yes, that's true. Ida really would have helped the kid out, but then he wasn't ready to accept that help at that time. So let's talk about that, because that hurt.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole thing where he was like freaking out about, I mean, not so much defecting, I guess, he's being forced to like flee for his life. It did kind of remind me a little bit of like the first couple of episodes of She-Ra when Adora finds the sword and she like uses it and then she fights the horde and then she's like, oh,
Oh
I
no.
just did something that I can't take back. And like that momentary panic of like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that?
And not in
I
a good
mean,
way. It's like, it's, yeah, I know what you mean though, for sure.
yeah. But yeah, I mean, like Hunter is just like, it's just for him, it like everything is just kind of a mess because he got like this reveal just kind of like dropped on him, literally just like upend his whole life and everything that he thought he knew, because basically everything he thought he knew was a lie. And then not only that, his uncle just like without warning, without any sort of like reason almost, it's just like, okay, now I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah,
And the poor guy
like
is just like, I didn't even do anything, like I was just doing my job and it was like a regular Tuesday for me until this happened.
yeah.
I think it's a lot to process. And then he just ends up like being cut off from everything and everybody that he knew. He has no place to go and like nothing to like, I mean, nobody he can turn to for help. And Luz and Ida are like, hey, calm down, we'll figure it out. But like you said, I don't think he was in a position to accept the help at that time. And I think for him,
No.
it was like survival mode. It was like
Oh
that, maybe
yeah.
coupled with like flight or flight response, fight or flight, can't talk.
Unfortunately, I agree with
whatever. And so
you.
like he just, he like as soon as like they, are pulled out of the Mindscape, and he's like, he has like this moment of like panic, and then he's like, I just have to go, I have to go, I can't
I
stay.
have to leave.
And then he
Yeah,
just like books
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, poor Luz is trying to, convince him to stay, but also like trying to deal with, this huge revelation that Belos and Philip are the same person, and she helped Philip,
That
so
she
therefore she
helped
helped
them.
Belos.
Yes.
And it's a lot.
It
And
is
again,
a
I mean,
lot.
she's already putting so much on herself. It's like, this is not one other thing you need to do, because hindsight is 2020. You didn't know at the time he was going to turn out this way. It's not really your fault.
No.
But I mean, it's easier
I
said than
mean, she
done
knew
to.
Philip was a jerk, but she didn't know the lengths that Philip would go to basically do all of this, you know? That's. Ugh, oh my God, that's a lot for anybody to take in. But then the next reveal is even more shocking, I would have to say, because this is King. Again, I love how this episode, I love how the show focuses on each of these characters pretty well, because this next episode focuses a lot on King, right? Because earlier he's just like having a dream about meeting his real family and then introducing them to Ida and Luz and being all happy about it. And then he wakes up from the dream and then Luz basically tells them about what what Bello, who Belos really is, and what he's planning to do with the Day of Unity and everything like that. And in all this commotion, Hootie basically upends, or what should I call it? He basically pukes out the letter, a piece of a letter that he accidentally ate up in an earlier episode, which was addressed to King. And this is when King is like, oh my God, these guys might be my family. We have to go. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, King has spent so long searching. You really want him to have this thing, but it's also just, you do have to question the timing. It's awfully convenient that, like, now when they're like all these different things are coming to a head, King gets this like letter that's like, hey, your family exists. Just come to this nondescript location and you can find them. It's like, hey, seems fishy.
Absolutely.
So as much as you want him to have it, it's also like, please be careful.
Yeah, exactly. So we do see King and Lou set off on this crazy adventure to find out about more about this family. And there's so much going on here that I don't think we can fit it all into this at this point. So, which is exactly why we're gonna leave that for next week, along with the rest of season two, because there's so much going on with that. A lot. And there's a lot to talk about. So, if you guys have stuck around for this, we thank you and we really appreciate you. And we hope to see you next week for the discussion on the season two finale, which ended up so epic. And we'll talk about that and all things season two of the Owl House next week. So thank you, and we appreciate you. Bye, guys.
Thank you. As always, our lovely theme song is Water Lily by the 126ers. The Nerdy Podcast podcast is available on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and you can follow us online at nerdy-podcasts.tumblr.com or at nerdypodcasts.wordpress.com.